The Transportation Department is not implementing the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act like many of its cohorts. DOT has an 800-pound gorilla to deal with called the Federal Aviation Administration. In his weekly feature Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about why DOT must customize its FITARA implementation. Jason joins me now. All right, Jason, so FAA then is most of what DOT spends on IT, so I guess the idea is it's illogical for all of the power to flow to the departmental CIO in a case where a bureau CIO is controlling most of the money in the first place.
Well, I think it's illogical only because that's the way it's been for the last, 300 years or something like that, right?
Well, 250 anyway.
250 at least, right? I like to add that once in a while. But I think the piece here, Tom, is what Congress did was say, we see a problem, we want to fix it, and we think it begins with the department headquarters CIO. And I think OMB supports that. The White House has been very clear. But Richard McKinney, who is the transportation CIO, said, listen, we are going to follow FITARA. We understand the spirit. We understand the intent. But the FAA is different. And when I asked him why the FAA was different, his point was very simple. The FAA falls under a different set of procurement laws than the rest of the government. Now, we saw that at one time, for instance, as one example, as with the Transportation Security Administration, and eventually TSA came into using the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the FAR. The FAA still has its own version, if you will, of procurement regulations and own laws that govern it. And Richard said, for that reason, just that slice of FITARA, the procurement slice, The General Counsel of Transportation of FAA, they decided that the CIO of FAA would be the one who would actually hold the ultimate authority. Now, that means Richard, as the CIO of DOT under the law, would have to delegate that authority, but that's going to be done in policy, and that's going to be almost, I'll use the word permanent. I guess it could change sometime, but for now, it's going to be the way it is.
Yes, that having the FAA having its own procurement regulations dates back at least 25 years, might even be before that, because of troubles they were having with an earlier round of modernization way back, I think, in the 80s, that they said procurement regulations were standing in the way of their ability to roll out new technology, going from round green radar terminals to regular CRT displays, this kind of thing, which everything the FAA does has big scale. And so that's stuck. And now, what about the White House, which has issued FITARA implementation guidelines? Are they on to this and also willing to go along with how transportation plans to do it?
So one thing about what all agencies did was, they've been talking to the White House ever since FITARA was passed last December timeframe. And so they've known what the implementation guidance was looking like and finally came out earlier this year. And I think those conversations are happening. The lawyers have gotten together. So when I've talked to Richard McKinney, the DOT CIO, he seemed to make clear that this was understood by all parties involved, including the White House. Now, I did check in with some sources I have about this idea of customization of FITARA. I said, is any other agency going down that similar path? Because, Tom, as we talked briefly, there are several agencies that have this, what we'll call the 800-pound gorilla. If you think of Justice, they have the FBI. If you think of Commerce Department, Patent Trademark Office is a big, big bureau. You also have IRS over at the Treasury Department. And you could see carve-outs or cutouts for each of those that because we're separate, we're different. And OMB has been very clear time and again when I've talked to Tony Scott, the federal CIO, about this. They do not want carve-outs. They do not want special permission. And I think the FAA stands out because of those procurement regulations, while the IRS, the FBI, the PTO does not have separate procurement regulations than the rest of the government. I think that's the key difference here.
And also, Jason, I'm not sure whether this is part of what you discussed, but because even though those are large bureaus within bigger departments, there's no reason why financial systems, HR systems, a lot of what would come under the shared services umbrella should not be at the departmental level. There's no reason why, the IRS needs its own accounting system if it can use treasuries. It may do that anyway. But over time, I think that's what they're trying to get away from.
I think you're right. And there's no reason why, when it comes to spending and authorities over the spending, the department CIO can't have a say in how those other places spend. Now, the other piece of this, Tom, I think that you bring up, and I think it's fair, is those other agencies don't have separate regulations. Now, the one outlier here is the Energy Department with its national labs. The national labs, are trying to carve themselves out of FATARA. And there was actually made some interesting news about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, when in the statement of administration policy for the Energy Department spending bill for fiscal 2016, there was a provision in there that said that the Energy Department labs in the House version, I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, doesn't have to follow FATARA. And the White House came back with a statement of administration policy and said, these labs must follow FATARA. This is not just a pick and choose exercise. This is the law. So that's going to be an interesting something to watch as well, because that's the other area where, well, there's a possible opportunity for a carve out, which I think would not make some people very happy.
Well, the national labs follow a totally different model yet again from the other agency we talked about, because the lab management is outsourced to places like the University of California and other large organizations for billions of dollars over long-term contracts that do all of the operational work for the labs, so that the scientists there don't have to worry about this kind of thing.
But they do have to follow a lot of the federal regulations. They do have to follow FSMA. They do have rules. They have better rules. They have different rules around hiring, but they have rules around, I think, financial management to a certain extent, because they are answering and using federal money directly. So it's different, but it's not, you know, it's not, you know, 180 degrees total difference.
And there's also the cybersecurity question that figures into all of this, because I think the department level CIOs would want to have a unified approach to cybersecurity. And we know there have been repeated cybersecurity issues with the national labs over many years, as there have been with the IRS.
I think you're right. And I think that's the other reason why Congress has been pushing for this kind of one belly button to push, not just because of budget, but because of things like cyber, because of things like hiring, who's really in charge here. And national labs play into that. I mean, they do answer back to the Energy Department. They are under contract, as you said. So I think this is just something, an interesting kind of an aside that came up during the FCA breakfast last week, the Bethesda chapter held. That's always very interesting. That I thought that's why, Tom, in many ways, this was notebook worthy, because it's something that every agency is going through and how they implement FATARA.
All right, so you've got big, tall, small, and wide. It's like trying to fit one suit to everybody, but the government will try to do that anyway. And also, while we have you, Jason, there's a couple of people on the move that people should know about, some senior executives at the FBI.
Two FBIs, the CIO, Jerry Pender, actually left on August 25th, and now sources tell me Dean Hall, the deputy CIO, is retiring in early October. Now, why this is important is not because these are two longtime feds who've contributed to making the FBI better around technology, but this, is, I think, is part of a trend we're seeing about senior-level IT executives who are leaving or being pushed out or being, you know, told to retire or whatever it is that's happening. That's happening across several agencies. You see it at NASA, you see it at Energy, and now you see it at FBI. And I think this is part of a trend, Tom, and I like to highlight the people on the move, because I think we all like to know who's on first and who's going to second. But at the same time, you see the changes that's happening within the CIO community. Now, over at the FBI, again, Jerry Pender has left. He went to become the managing director and operating partner at something called the Z Capital Group, which is an investment management firm. And then Dean Hall is retiring, I've been told, in October. I'm not sure where he's going yet. But Brian Trucone is the acting CIO over at the FBI until, obviously, a new one is named. One other one of note, Tom, this was pointed out. This is sent out by an email by the National Archives and Records Administration. Paul Wester, who is the NARA Chief Records Officer, is also leaving. He's going to become the Director of the Agriculture Department's National Agriculture Library starting October 19th. Paul is someone who's been on the circuit for a while, talked a lot about, you know, records management, the importance of managing government records. And it's good to see staying in government, but it's a big loss to the NARA community.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, we thank you for that update.
My pleasure.